Boot Ahoy. Your podcast by Boot Düsseldorf.
Hello and welcome to Boot Düsseldorf's podcast in cooperation with the EBI, the European Boating Industry. Our guest today is Rosalind Kolber, ex-member of Team Malicia with Boris Herrmann in the Ocean Race 2023, and now co-skipper at Team Holcim PRB, and aiming to become the skipper at Ocean Race Europe 25. Welcome, Rosie.
Hello, hello.
Let's get started. Like, how hard was it to leave Team Malicia? You were the female face of the team. You were like a rock star for the team next to Boris Herrmann. Yeah, how hard was it to leave them?
Good question. First of all, nice to be here and great to be at Boot Düsseldorf. We're gonna walk around today and see everything. Yeah, how hard was it to leave Team Malicia? Quite hard. I sailed around the world past year with this team, and it was an amazing team, like such a good vibe, and I really felt the best version of myself going around the world with all of them. So yeah, it was quite difficult, but I'm very happy with the step I made. Team Holcim PRB offered me to become skipper of their boat and lead the team in the Ocean Race 25 Europe. And that was an amazing opportunity. And I discussed everything very well with Boris Herrmann and the team director Holikova. And they were totally behind me and said, this offer you can't refuse. And we're totally supporting you. And if things turn out to be different or other than expect, then you can always come back. The door is always open.
And the change into the new team, how did that go? What are the differences maybe also between the two teams? I guess the new team does things quite differently than Malicia did. And how did you manage to meld into the new constellation in France?
I'm still working my way into the team. So when you build up to a big race like the Ocean Race, you should imagine that we have, on the peak moment, we had 35 people in the team. Mm-hmm. And you work, so you design a boat, you build a boat together, and then you sail around the world. So you're very close with each other. But even in Team Malicia, after the Ocean Race, the team got smaller because the focus is different. And that's the same in Team Holcim PRB, at a very big team for the Ocean Race, and less people now, because this year we're focusing on Nicolas Lundven, the current skipper who's sailing the Vandegloo, solo around the world. And after that, we were building up again for a bigger team to facilitate the Ocean Race Europe. And of course, it's two totally different teams. I'm working my way in there. And I'm actually very grateful for the opportunity to be able to set a big part of the team up.
Yeah.
So we're, the team has changed a bit in comparing with the Ocean Race last year. And now we're seeing, okay, how we're gonna develop the team. And
And you are involved also in the organizational aspects and the recruiting of the team members.
Yes.
So this is probably something that really takes and occupies much of your time currently,
exactly,
doesn't it?
Exactly, exactly. So a lot of people ask me, oh, what are you doing currently? Because the boat is in refit in Port-la-Forêt, close to Lorient. And at the moment, we're making the team structure. So we're changing a little bit the structure in comparing with previous.
Yeah.
And as well the people. So I'm very happy to be involved in that process. And one of my aims and goals is to really set up a diverse and international team.
And how do you organize the work together with Nicolas? You're two skippers, you're co-skippers. Nicolas is the designated skipper for the Vendée Globe starting this year. And you are aiming for the Ocean Race Europe next year, or 25.
Yeah.
How do you organize, and how do you split your responsibility for the team as a total? Yeah, you know Nicolas very well from also from Malicia. So how does it go? How much are you involved in the preparations for the Vendée? How much is he also supporting your activities with regards to the Ocean Race?
Yeah.
How do we have to imagine the cooperation between the two of you?
Yeah, that's a good question. As I said, Nicolas is focusing on the Vendée Globe, and I support him as much as possible with that. So, for example, the boat is in refit now, and in March we launch the boat. We will always be training together. So, some people think solo sailing, you always sail solo when you're training, but that's not true. You have a team behind you who are helping you to hoist the sails, do performance tests. So I will be involved in that. To find out the potential of the boat, because we have some data from the previous race, but you need to figure it out yourself as well. In the meantime, I have a list of things that I need to be able to when I'm skippering a boat myself. And in these training days, we will pay attention to these points. And in this way, I can learn from Nicolas. I can learn as well in terms of navigation. I have to say, half a year ago, the ocean race stopped. We both made a move to Holcim in September. And then the boat went in refit. So we're still really in the process of figuring out how to work together, how to run the project together, and to make sure that he's ready for the Van de Globe and myself for the Ocean Race 25. But so far, it's really nice to do that. And Holcim PRB as sponsor is really great to us. They're really thinking along, and it's a rare and super cool opportunity.
Do you have your team for the Ocean Race Europe already together?
No. So I have a lot in my mind. My aim is to set up a diverse team, international team, and I like to give everyone a chance. So at the moment, I'm working on a selection process, probably in the summer or autumn. How can I reach a lot of people in the sailing industry and maybe beyond, who really, they have a dream to sail the ocean race, to give them equal chances to apply for a job like this. I think that's something I've seen when I fought my way up in this industry. It's quite hard to find a spot on one of these boats, and it's important who you know. You put your friends on the boat often, and I really like to make it more open and give everyone an equal chance. And I'm super happy that the sponsor is supporting this idea a lot.
It's still not very common in the ocean race to have a female skipper, which is a pity actually. Are you focusing on female crew a bit more, or is it not one of your main targets to do a gender selection?
No, to be honest, I'm focusing on talent, on passion, on how much someone want this and commit to it. And for me, it doesn't matter if you're male, if you're female, if you're old or young, from whatever country you are. I really like to give people an equal opportunity. In the end, if you not only look at sailing, if you just look in general and in teams that people are working, I really believe that a diverse team is functioning the best.
You showed a rocket career and a rock star career as well, especially after your hard work in the Southern Ocean and even after your accident in the Southern Ocean as well, near Cape Horn. When did you realize how big this all has become for you, for yourself, from a very personal perspective? You were the female superstar of the Ocean Race 23. How and when did you realize, wow, this is something big, there's something going on that lets you stand out so much?
For me, it's very special. And even if you mention it, I didn't realize it so much. And I start realizing it that people really follow the race and really get close in Brazil when we finished a 36-day leg. In that leg, I suffered a head injury and a concussion. We docked into Itajaí, and there were at 3 o'clock in the morning so many people for us waving and cheering. And I was like, wow, this is massive. Then I went back to the Netherlands for a short break, trying to recover. And then there was a lot of publicity in the Netherlands, a lot of newspapers who wrote about it, TV stations. And I was like, whoa, this is, I don't know. I could never imagine that there was so much attention, and it was really, really special. And I feel very blessed that there are so many people who are following the race and really get to know you, you know? Yeah. That's very special.
Yeah. Can you summarize your career for us a little bit? You're still quite young. How did you develop from a sailing kid in the Netherlands to being part of the international sailing elite?
Yeah, so I started sailing when I was, I think, 5 or 6 years old, in a small lake in the Netherlands called Soetermeer, in an Optimist with my dog. I was a bit afraid of water. I'm still a bit afraid of water. My dog too, so we decided to sail together. And at one point, I wanted to start doing races when I was sailing. 8 or 9 or so, but I had a sister and a brother, and my parents, they said, like, listen, we would love to go with you to races, but we just can't manage with your brother and sister. So I decided to do a different sport, hockey and athletics. Then when I was 18 years old, I did a road trip in Australia, and I was backpacking by myself. And then I just noticed I did the East Coast, and everywhere where I went, I just walked into harbors and I sat down and looked at boats. Then I found a job as a deckhand on a nice ship at the Whitsunday Islands. At that point over there, I realized how much I loved sailing. And the skipper in his, and his dad, they said, okay, let's go back to the shore to take a break. But I said, no, I like to continue sailing. So the result was that I was 18 years old and I sailed for nights by myself at, in the White Sundays. And I felt so good. I felt that fire inside of me. And I knew sailing is what I want to do. And sailing is really where my passion is.
But after a break. So after...
After a break, exactly.
Between the optimist period and that period, you didn't know sailing at all. It just came back and hit you by surprise then.
Yeah, it came back, but I always had it in my mind. I did some sailing like a laser and I did some smaller boats just occasionally, not in competition form. But at that point, I was like, oh, hey, offshore sailing is cool. I went back to the Netherlands. I told my mom... I want to swap sports. I'm gonna try to make it into the offshore sailing world. And she was like, sure, you go for it. Then I found a sailing school. I did some races over there. And quite quickly, I joined a youth academy called Team Heiner in the Netherlands. Yep.
And they lead quite famous for bringing up huge sailing talent in Holland.
Led by Roy Heiner, a former Volvo Ocean Race skipper. Yep. And when I was 1 year into that team, I said, okay, I want to compete in the ocean race. Everyone told me, listen, you have no Olympic background, you're whatever. There were so many reasons. And my mother said, well, I think if you really want it, then just go for it. Mm-hmm. And then I had these eye claps and I was like, I really want to make this happen. So I went back to Australia, found a boat for the Sydney to Hobart. Mm-hmm. A really good one called InfoTrack 100 Foot with a lot of famous skippers like Chris Nicholson, Stu Bannatyne, Tony Mudder, Bauer Becking. Via these guys, I went more into the offshore circuit, did all the work races, like the Malta Middle Sea Race, Sydney to Hobart, Caribbean 600, Fastnet. In this way, I came on board AkzoNobel. I did the Ocean Race Europe on board AkzoNobel. Yep. With Chris Nicholson as skipper and Will Harris as navigator, and Will Harris brought me into Team Alicia. So that's a bit in a nutshell how it went.
That's a short version. But you mentioned it, you don't have to.
And it sounds really easy now, and I'm like, oh yeah, now it went like this and this, but it was not easy. It was not easy at all.
I imagine, yeah.
And I really think everyone who wants to become a professional sailor, it's hard work.
Is it a combination of hard work and luck?
Yes.
Yeah. So you have to meet the right people,
exactly.
and you have to meet people who are able and financially equipped in order to set up teams and give you a chance and invite you and let you prove yourself.
Exactly. Yeah, and train because you need to, I made over 90,000 nautical miles within 6 years. And you need these chances, and that's really why I want to give more people a chance. People who don't have the luck that I have.
What would you say? You just mentioned you don't have to follow the Olympic career path. Obviously, you didn't. You went in a different way. The French sailors, especially the solo sailors, most of them also don't follow the optimist 420, 470, 49er way.
Yeah.
Focus on solo sailing and find their way. So what would be your advice for some kid in their teens who want to go their way and find their way into professional sailing, either in the premium former Volvo and Vendée or in the Grand Prix sailing or TP 55, 52. What would be your advice for a kid, a young person who wants to follow your path or find their own way, but become a professional sailor? And we in Germany, we are in Düsseldorf now. We still don't have so many pros in Germany. I think Roy Heiner, you mentioned the school and the academy is a very good starting point. And
first of all, there is no dotted path.
Yeah.
Right? So really, you need to find your own way.
Yeah.
Figure out, what do you want? Mm-hmm. So what direction would you like to go and why? Mm-hmm. So what is it inside of you or maybe outside why you really want to do this? I think if you know why, you can think about how. How am I going to make my way up? And I would recommend to find people around you, like your parents or like friends, or find a little squad of people who are supporting you and give advice and you can just talk with. What I did is I made a planning of all the races in the world. So I knew the TP52 circuit, the RC44, Swan 42, like Mediterranean Secret, the Maxis, the all the work races. And I made a huge planning and I knew exactly when are all the regattas. And then before our regatta, a couple of months before, I start looking at the entry list. And I start looking at the nationalities and the skippers and the team directors. And then I just email them. Make sure you have a good resume and start emailing them. Or maybe you can do delivery or training, because it's important that you make miles. And as well, try to sail in your local sailing school or the local offshore race. And of course, you will not join from the first moment professional sailing team. So accept that. And every mile you can make, you learn things. It doesn't really matter on what kind of boat it is. Spread the word, so let people know what you want. And as well, like, I have a lot of people who are calling me and ask these questions, and I really recommend them go out at sea and sail some nights offshore, because then you know if you like it or not. Some, they've never been offshore, they're like, oh, I want to go do the Volvo Ocean Race. And if you're two nights crossing to England, some day are like, oh, that's maybe not my cup of tea. I would do it like this. And I think the most important thing is really enjoy every day, because the chance is small that you really get to the highest level. And if you make sure you enjoy every day on the water, with on the boat you are, with the people you are, you are a winner already. And I got that tip from Dirk de Ridder, Dutch famous sailor as well. And that really helped me. For me personally, what really helped me and is that I'm very positive. I'm just, whatever weather it is, I make it a sport to always smile. And I think that's attractive. So people like to sail and be around happy people. That's in general, right? In any team. But I think you really can make a difference if you do that. And do all the jobs. Try to put your ego aside and just go for it. Build a boat as many times and
Here at Boat Düsseldorf and the Blue Innovation Dock stage of the European Boating Industry Association, I think you also speak a bit about sustainability. Your new team Holcim PRB's project Go Circular has also, like many other teams, as well as sustainability aspect. So what are the goals and cornerstones of Go Circular?
Go Circular is an initiative from Holcim. Our sailing campaign is one of the pillars and is one of the ways how to spread the message. And for example, Holcim, I'm gonna visit the project in 2 months. They have a plastic collecting boat, a solar powered catamaran in Manila Bay in the Philippines. And they're collecting plastic from the ocean. They're collecting water data. So that's the same what we did in the ocean race. With all the devices we have on board, we collect unique data, especially in the Southern Ocean, because there are no boats. So all the data that we collect is super rare. In this way, we add something to the science and try to map the health of our ocean.
So you will be involved as a skipper, even during the race time, in this project and help collect data and bring your contribution to the project with the team.
And that's for me one of the most important pillars as well, to team up with Holcim, because we both have this message.
Let's talk about life goals a little bit. You are on top of the sailing world now. You built a new team. You're part of the most recognized races in the world. You built a new home in the Netherlands. And you even met and hugged your king and queen of your home country. What can come next? What are your goals after the Ocean Race Europe? You are a focused person. I think you have an idea about what should come next.
Well, at the moment, I'm really like, it's a nice question that you're asking, and I have 1,000 answers to this. But at the moment, I'm very focused to set up a happy, well-functioning and diverse team for the Ocean Race 25. And it takes a lot of my energy. And on the other hand, I realized I have had 8 years ICLEPS, and I was just like pushing to become a better sailor every day. And I forgot a little bit the world around me. At the moment, I am discovering what is really my goal? What is really the purpose of the things I'm doing? And I know it will have something to do with sustainability and helping our oceans. Mm-hmm. Because around the world, I've seen that we all need to do something good. Mm-hmm. To give an example, we were sailing and sometimes you see something floating in the water. Yeah. 50% of the times when you grab the binoculars and look if it's an animal, it's plastic. Mm-hmm. So I've seen 50% animals, 50% of plastic. So after when the race finished, my eye clips went off and I'm like, "Oi, what is my goal?" Mm-hmm. Of course, to set up this team, but what is the bigger purpose? And that's why I'm at the moment talking with a lot of people, reading a lot of books. I'm even going to start up an own podcast.
Okay.
To talk with people about this topic and to see where do we really need to invest in. Where can I help?
And good that you're here, actually, and in order to drive this. At a boat show like Boat Düsseldorf, which is a big platform for, of course, for business, for boat yards and sailmakers and windsurf and kitesurf equipment producers, but it's also a platform for raising awareness for topics like ocean cleanup, water preservation, and creating a better world for the wildlife in the oceans. How important is a platform like this, like Boat Düsseldorf? How big do you think can the influence be for the industry if platforms like this use more effort and more energy and invest more time and spend more area as well for people who really take care of sustainability on the water, in the water, around the water, beginning from new materials in boat building up to ocean cleaning projects?
Well, I think platforms like this they have a huge impact. And in every industry, we need to make sure we build as sustainable as possible and we work as sustainable as possible. And I mean, this industry as well. And I think this boat show, I think it's a huge topic. And we know everyone needs to change. And I think it's very good to connect everyone with each other and we have to. The same if we're building a boat. We have so many different suppliers. Sometimes I think let's talk a little bit more with each other and make it a bit more efficient sometimes. Mm-hmm. We're really working on our own islands. Boat is it's a great opportunity to meet everyone face to face and to find a solution together.
Have you ever imagined you would travel the world and sign autographs for sailing kits and fans?
No, never. No, I've never imagined doing that, no. But I really like to meet everyone and to share the amazing experience. That was that's super nice. And I have to say, especially Germany, it's very big in here. And okay. I know a lot of people follow the race and a fan of Team Alicia. And I'm very proud that I was part of that team. So it's very cool to be here. Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming. Thanks for taking the time. Have a good time and a great day at the boat show. And it's very good that you're here. Thanks.
Thanks a lot. Merci.
Boot Ahoy! Your podcast by Boot Düsseldorf.